Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, an hour of news, reports, features, music, and more. Today we'll hear from retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson explaining the recent hot and wet weather and the current dry and pleasant weather. And he'll also tackle whether or not the Gulf Stream is about to collapse. We'll also hear the national news from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network.
Hi, this is Alana from Sawkill. I'm the host of There There on WGXC Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. Radio for open ears.
Take two.
The Athens Cultural Center is pleased to host the third Saturday's free film series at the Athens Riverfront Park along the Hudson River. Join us on the third Saturday of each month, May through September, for a stellar movie lineup with notable guests. Screenings begin at sunset, but get there early to enjoy thematic specialty cocktails from the Stewart House's River Grill and settle in with friends on the lawn. Visit athensculturalcenter.org for more information, including this year's featured films. Third Saturday's free film series is made possible by Create Council on the Arts, the Fair Games Arts Grant, and the Stewart House Tavern and River Grill. See you this summer!
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Saffer of Woodstock, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, August 2nd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that in January, Governor Kathy Hochul proposed building 800,000 new units across New York to address the affordable housing crisis. But the legislature did not go along with her plan. Instead, Hochul announced on August 1st a plan to build 800 affordable housing units in and around New York City. Hochul said, quote, opening up more housing, all levels of housing, low income, affordable, mixed use market rate, it doesn't matter. We have such demand for housing in this state. If we don't provide the availability of all these options, and the government has a role to play with the private sector and the community, if we don't do our job there, then that's going to be a reason people leave, unquote. Hochul is spending $406 million to build 800 units of affordable housing in Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Suffolk and Westchester counties, but not upstate. Hochul also spoke about the legislators who blocked her original proposal for 800,000 units, saying, quote, change is hard, it takes time, but I think what's important is that legislators hear from the people who live in these communities. People need a safe, affordable place to live, and we have a responsibility. And I'm not going to sit by and let time march on without doing something because this is a crisis, unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that a black former corrections officer, Vitellio Jeannine, is suing his former co-workers and high-ranking members of the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, alleging racial harassment and that he was beaten by other officers at a Washington County prison. He also claims he was fired after filing a complaint about the incident. June's lawsuit says of white corrections officers that, quote, they do not like black correction officers being assigned to Great Meadow because, according to them, black workers are slackers and lazy, unquote. He says he also heard physical threats, name-calling, and taunts about his Haitian accent from other officers in a complaint filed in state Supreme Court in Albany County. Quote, this attack was perpetrated by individuals senior to plaintiff and considered to be plaintiff's superiors and was witnessed by correction officers who failed to intervene, unquote, the lawsuit states. Officials with the New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association, the union which represents correction officers, declined to comment, and State Department of Corrections officials did not respond to a request for comment. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that Club Helsinki, a music venue in Hudson, has been sold. The club, which mostly hosted oldies acts rather than new bands, closed during the COVID-19 pandemic and never reopened. The old owners did not say why it closed, and the new owners, the Galvin Foundation, aren't revealing much either. Galvin Vice President of Initiatives Dan Kent said, quote, we do not have any comment at this time, but I will be sure to reach out once we are ready to announce our plans, unquote. The story does not say anything about the financial deal. The Galvin Foundation owns many of Hudson's buildings, more than any other single landlord. A few local bands performed at Club Helsinki when it was open, but most acts were aimed at baby boomers. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 2nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 45 degrees in Steventown to 50 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 68 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. The air quality will be good. The skies will be mostly sunny and we get a high of 77 at 5 p.m. Overnight temperatures dip to 56 degrees. Then tomorrow we get a high of 82 at 3 p.m. And then stormy conditions show up for most of us. Rain keeps going all night as temperatures fall to 63 degrees. Then, both days this weekend look to be sunny with a high of 81. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:44 a.m., low tide at 10:42 a.m., high tide again at 4:18 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 77 degrees. And the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:01 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:46 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%, and sunspot 3380 has been popping off with such regularity that a lot of our upper atmosphere has been ionized, and radio transmissions of all nature today will be negatively impacted. Plasma winds will be average at 407 kilometers per second with a thin density of 4 protons per cubic centimeter. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 160. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M. Toomey, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Thank you. Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted for his role in overturning the 2020 election. He is charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. Trump has argued it's an attempt by the government to disrupt his campaign for the GOP presidential nomination in 2024, for which he is the leading candidate. It is the former president's third indictment this year. New York Attorney General Letitia James' civil fraud case against him goes to trial in the fall. As sweltering heat continues to bake the U.S., workers' rights groups are concerned about a new law in Texas reversing local ordinances requiring 10-minute breaks every 4 hours for people working outside. More than 110 congressional lawmakers wrote the Occupational Safety and Health Administration urging them to implement a federal workplace heat standard. But Julie Fulcher with Public Citizen, a nonprofit consumer rights group, says OSHA needs an interim and permanent rule as soon as possible.
OSHA is currently working on developing a workplace heat standard. However, on average, it takes OSHA about 7 to 8 years to do a rule from beginning to end. They are working on it, they're chugging along, but we're at least a couple of years out from getting a rule.
Legal challenges have been mounted against Idaho's law banning interstate travel for abortion care for people under age 18. In particular, a federal judge barred enforcement of part of the law, which stops medical providers from referring patients across state lines for care. Wendy Hyped, senior reproductive rights counsel with Legal Voice, which worked to file an injunction, says the law is unconstitutional.
It offends the right to travel, both travel within Idaho and travel across state lines, which you cannot restrict for Americans because you don't like what they're going to do. You can't tell them they can't drive somewhere because you don't like what they're driving to do.
The U.S. State Department has launched a Bureau of Global Health Security and Diplomacy. The Bureau's mission is to take action on infectious diseases spreading, a goal underscored by the COVID-19 pandemic and the spread of HIV/AIDS across the globe. Ambassador-at-Large Dr. John Nkengasong will head the new bureau.
Therefore, launching this bureau comes at a critical point because, as others have said, we recognize that the frequency of the health threats are increasing because of the greater connectivity, globalization, climate change, population growth, food insecurity, and many others.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Early voting for Ohio's August 8th special election is robust as voters consider raising the threshold for a ballot initiative to win to a 60% margin. At stake in issue one is a 112-year-old precedent of a 50% plus one simple majority rule and an attempt to derail a reproductive freedom ballot question slated for November's election. The Ohio Capital Journal reports that in a televised debate last week, the 60% supermajority was defended by no less than Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose, a highly irregular action for a chief elections officer. While issue one isn't directly about abortion rights, the Secretary of State's office said last week that the coalition collecting signatures for the reproductive rights ballot question exceeded the needed signatures among 44 counties. In addition to a 60% margin, issue one would require future initiatives to collect signatures in all 88 Ohio counties. Although the deadline passes August 1st to request and mail an absentee ballot, early voting at election centers continues August 2nd to the 4th, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., August 5th, 8 to 4, and August 6th, 1 to 5. August 8th, polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. We have links to articles about Issue 1 and details on when, how, and where to vote in Ohio at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Philadelphia, here is guitarist Chris Forsythe with his song High Castle Rock from the album The Rarity of Experience.
Thank you.
That was Chris Forsyth with High Castle Rock on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Stay tuned to WGXC Wednesday, August 2nd for all sorts of creative community radio. Mayuka Fujino beams in from Copaig with Mirage Station at 11 a.m. Then we head to Main Street in Catskill, where Spike Priggen is for the Bedazzled Radio Hour. This week he speaks with English musician Lee Anthony Mavers, the songwriter, singer, and rhythm guitarist for The Laws. At 4 p.m., WGXC heads to ACRA, and we'll talk to the Wheelhouse Creative Education Center folks who come from Catskill. At 7 p.m., we simulcast Off the Hook, the Hacker Quarterly 2600 show on WBAI in Brooklyn on WGXC. 8 p.m., we head to Hudson for Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. And at 10 p.m., we head to Ulster County with Jeff Economy and Stack Point Charlie. And at midnight, Peter Aaron and Go-Go Kitty are live from Ulster County, simulcast from Radio Kingston until 2 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Now, joining us once again is retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson for our weekly discussion of weather and climate. This is Alicia. Welcome back, Hugh.
Hey, Alicia, how you doing?
I'm well. Yourself?
Doing good.
Hugh, I can't believe how fast this summer has been going. July is already over, and now we're about ready to go into August. July's been giving us heaps of hot weather and rain. Can you give us a recap of this July weather?
Well, rain, I'd say more than, rain and humidity, I'd say, were the main themes. There was heat, too. We were a little bit warmer than normal. In fact, we were, believe it or not, it looks like we're going to finish a tenth of a degree warmer than last July, which you recall we had a little more intense heat. But this month we had a lot of humidity, not too many cool nights until the very end of the month. But the legacy is going to be the rain. We got right now, as of 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. on Monday evening, the airport has had 10.70 inches of rain, which is way above the normal for 4.455. It's the normal 30-year rainfall amount for July. And this shattered the all-time record, which was just set back in 2009 of 9.91. Not only that, but we are now at the third wettest month ever in Albany history. And we go back to records of 1826, I believe. So we go back a long, long time. The only 2 months that were wetter were the month that Floyd hit in 1999, September 99, 11.06, and way, way back in October 1869 when we had 13.49 inches of rain, I believe. So those are the only 2 months wetter. And we did it without a tropical storm. And what's even I can't get over how wet we've been. We had 18 days of measurable rain. All we have to do is go back 2 years ago where we found another very wet July, not quite as wet as this month, where we had 8.96 inches of rain, so our fourth wettest July record that month. Are you ready for this? We had 25 days of observed rain. So at least this month we only had 18, not 25. But still, it's just been incredible. And one other thing, in our top 10 wettest Julys, we had six of them in the 2000s, four of them in the 1800s, none in the 1900s. And one last thing, I actually found a mistake that the Weather Service had for years and overlooked everyone. It had 1970 as one of our wettest Julys. And when I went back to look at the monthly statistics, it turned out that was a dry July. It was 1870 that was really wet. So again, no top 10 wet Julys in the 1900s. They've all been in the 2000s and 1800s. So that's kind of weird.
So speaking of climate change and weird weather, there was a disturbing story recently about how the Gulf Stream might shut down in as little as 2 years. Can that be true?
Well, probably not. But there was a study that came out from the Copenhagen, from scientists at Copenhagen. Now, earlier studies from the Paris Accord said, don't worry, it's not going to happen for a century. But these guys are saying that's not true. And what they're saying, and we've talked about this before, this is actually, the Gulf Stream is all part of what's called the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. It's actually, there's a whole bunch of...
Whoa, say that again slowly.
Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. That's all the currents that kind of combine into a very large Atlantic current that looks like a horseshoe that goes around the entire basin of the Atlantic Ocean. The Gulf Stream is part of it, a very important part, because that's what brings the warm air towards a warm, a rather warmer water to Europe and allows Europe to have palm trees in London and Ireland that you would never see here in Canada because the climate's so much different. So, anyways, we talked about this before. There's already been evidence that the Gulf Stream or the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation has slowed a little bit. Remember, we talked about the average speed's about 4 miles an hour. Now it's down to about 3.7, maybe down another 10 since then. This is what the scientists and the studies have come across. And so I kind of lean towards the fact that we may have a problem with this. Now, I don't think it's going to happen in 2 years. My personal opinion, I think we got to watch to see what the Arctic ice extent does. Remember, in 2012, we had a least Arctic ice extent by September that year when we ever had, beating out 2007. Now, we haven't done it since, but I've been following this, folks. We are actually very close to the curve in 2012. And with the waters off the chart, the Atlantic oceans are running in the way above normal, up to 100 degrees off water. I kid you not. That's beyond bath water. So there's very warm water. So I think we have a shot of breaking that record from 2012. Now, we're not going to lose the entire Arctic basin, but that could happen in the next 10 years. I think that's the time when that happens. That's about the point where we could really see the Gulf Stream and the whole meridional overturning circulation break down. So we could be talking a decade or two. We could be talking a decade or two, and it will not be pretty when that happens.
What does that all mean for our climate?
I'm going to try to do this in a real quick time. Basically, what's going to happen is it's going to get colder up north, and the south is still going to be hot. So there's going to be one heck of what we call a baroclinic zone setting up, a battleground area somewhere in the mid-Atlantic, somewhere south of us, where storms are probably stronger than we've ever seen. Now, remember, the day after tomorrow, it won't be quite like that. That was a little off the chart, okay, with Hollywood. But we will probably see, and we're already seeing this, we've already seen stronger storms. We're just going to get storms that we thought we never would see before happening more regularly. So we'll probably have colder winters at times, a lot colder, and maybe summers will be hot. But, you know, it could be a very stormy time. We'll probably just see everything we're seeing now, more precipitation, more, you know, more extreme temperature ranges and things like that. But it will happen very quickly. It could happen very, like, within a couple of weeks or months.
So let's move from climate to weather. What do you think is going to be happening in August, and will it be better than July?
Yeah, I will bet that we will not be as wet as July. I think that's a safe bet right now. And what I'm seeing in the charts in the next 2 weeks shows that I don't see any big heat waves or big rainstorms. Not that we're going to get some rain, but I don't see what we got in July, where we had that trough sitting there and these disturbances coming through very slowly. Much more progressive systems now, and we're going to get some breaks. We're actually going to get some air masses from Canada. We already had one. We enjoyed it over the weekend. We're going to get another one coming in. We got this little disturbance coming through Monday. It's going to be gorgeous for the rest of the week, and then it warms up a little bit, and then we get another shot at rain on Friday, and then another nice Canadian air mass for the weekend. So it looks like right in the next week to 10 days, we'll have pretty decent summer weather finally. And so the first half of August looks pretty benign. Looks like normal temperatures, maybe slightly below normal, and precipitation at or below normal. So much better than July.
Great talking with you, Joy. I'm sorry. It has been wonderful talking with you, Hugh. I was looking at a question I had that we don't have time for. As always, I thank you for joining us, and we look forward to speaking with you next week.
You got it. There's a lot of joy. That's why you said joy, because it's a joy for forecast.
It's always a joy talking with you.
Indeed, you too.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Ken Frey at New York State of Politics reports that Representative Mark Molinaro and Lee Stefanik, the Republicans representing local congressional districts, are considering voting to impeach President Joe Biden. Stefanik, who chairs the House GOP conference, talked about wanting to impeach the Democrat president on Fox Business last week, saying, and I quote, "I'm in conversations with Speaker McCarthy and all of our members," end quote. Molinaro, who represents the 19th Congressional District, said, and I quote, "Having served every day of my adult life in New York State politics, I can smell corruption. And frankly, the administration would be well served to answer the questions, be transparent, and provide their response to the committee that are inquiring," end quote. Republicans have not exactly said why they would impeach Biden, but it seems to have something to do with financial issues with his son, Hunter. Another Hudson Valley Republican congressperson, Mike Lawler, who represents the 17th district, said, and I quote, "Are the investigations producing enough facts and evidence that warrant taking it to the next step? I don't think it's there at the moment," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that workers at least five upstate New York farms have voted to join the United Farm Workers Union, but the farms are trying to stop them. The New York Farm Bureau and owners at the farms where the unions have formed say temporary workers with H-2A visas cannot organize or bargain collectively. Now New York's Public Employee Relations Board will decide, using the 2019 changes to the state's farm labor laws as a partial guide. Their decision, which will affect nearly 10,000 temporary visa workers, may be appealed to the courts. The Legal Aid Society, the New York Civil Liberties Union, and the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a brief with the state's Public Employment Relations Board saying, and I quote, "This could carry the effect of introducing a subclass of workers subjected to diminished working standards and would lead to the depreciation of market wages for agricultural workers across the board, the exact outcome the H-2A regulations attempted to avoid," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that votes in Saugerties will decide this fall whether the tax collector will be chosen by appointment or continue to be elected to four-year terms picked by voters. The last two tax collectors in Saugerties were appointed after Julie Dunn resigned in August 2022. Jill Zarcone was appointed but left after a few months to take a private sector job. Now they have voters both picking a tax collector in voting in October and November, but also a ballot question taking away their power to choose the tax collector. So the winning candidate would have to voluntarily not accept the position or to step down. More confusing still, Zarcone's name is on the Democrats' ballot line, even though she has bowed out. And Friedman is on the Conservative Party line. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Legislation in Congress aims to provide money to rural communities in New York and across the U.S. The Rebuild Rural America Act would allocate $50 billion to make it easier for rural areas to access federal grant money for a slew of different projects. In New York, this could mean providing funds for counties with aging housing stock to make it more accessible for seniors or people with limited mobility. Miranda Sailing with the Rural Community Assistance Partnership describes how the bill's structure could provide economic opportunities for rural communities.
It's going to be, I believe, fairly broad, which is the idea for flexible capacity. That's something that we're always talking about. So for different communities, it's going to look like different things. And that's something that's really important to us so that we don't come in and tell communities what's right for them.
She notes the funds could be used to update failing infrastructure and for water quality testing, specifically for PFAS chemicals. A recent U.S. Geological Survey study finds 45% of the nation's tap water contains at least one of these chemicals. The Senate version of this bill was introduced by New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. It's currently in the Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. Though it's still too early to say whether the Rebuild Rural America Act will pass, Sailing points out that it could work hand-in-hand with the Inflation Reduction Act and the 2023 Farm Bill, particularly with the multi-year funding commitments.
If we are able to get the bill passed in its current text with the multi-year funding, it allows for planning, it allows for more purposeful intention, and that multi-year relationship that creates more trust with our communities only creates a better relationship and better use of those funds.
The 2023 Farm Bill could be funded at a little over $1.5 trillion. That would be a $640 billion increase in spending, primarily driven by larger outlays for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, program. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2387, this is Ham Nation Headlines for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. Radios and other equipment remain on Rockall Island, where a second attempt at activation has failed.
A second and very brief activation of the remote granite islet known as Rockall was called off after hazardous conditions in the North Atlantic had forced the team to return to the mainland. Cam Cameron, Emil Bergman, DL8JJ, and Nobby, G0VJG, set sail on the 16th of July, only to turn back 3 days later after making several passes at Rockall. The hams were hoping to have a second activation, 3 hours of CW and SSB, during their return trip. The trio was travelling to recover radio equipment left there during the June activation of MM0UKI. Emil and Nobby had called QRZ for several days before their departure, leaving Cam on Rockall. In a challenge to benefit charity, Cam was hoping to break the previous 45-day stay record set in 2014. He'd called for rescue in late June after 32 days of exhaustion and hypothermia. Though don't be discouraged, the team plans another recovery attempt. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
India's government is looking for a radio operator to join the team at the country's research station in the Antarctic. If you like cold weather, here's what's involved.
A qualified radio operator is among the many posts being advertised for the next Indian Antarctic expedition, with preferences being given to ham or maritime radio operators. The National Centre for Polar and Ocean Research has been interviewing candidates for a variety of contract positions to work at its Antarctic research base beginning in November or December of this year. The research season ends sometime in 2025. Radio communication is considered an essential component of this 43rd expedition, which hopes to look at the ecosystem as well as satellite communication, ionospheric studies, stellar observations, and climate change. The government has been seeking a candidate proficient in English. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Students in the Philippines are feeling proud that their two ham radio CubeSats have entered orbit.
Two amateur radio CubeSats from the Philippines are now in orbit. Maya 5 and Maya 6 were built by university students with the goal of helping the nation keep its momentum going on satellite development while using locally sourced materials. The primary mission of the CubeSat pair is to give the amateur radio community a digital message relay service through the Automatic Packet Reporting System, or APRS. The onboard APRS digipeaters use the frequency of 145.825 MHz for transmitting as well as receiving. The CubeSats are also demonstrating a data message store and forward system compatible with universal amateur radio text and email messaging. The International Space Station released the CubeSats on the 19th of July. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news since 1976 at arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
And now... Here is your WGXC weather update. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 79 degrees. And on Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. In Greene and Columbia counties.
That was Tune Yards covering the Breeders' Cannonball. 4AD, the label 4AD, has put out a compilation of for their anniversary of bands covering 4AD songs. That was a classic 4AD song from the 90s from the Breeders'. And now here's another cover. This is a 2021 cover from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band doing Neil Young's Barstool Blues.